Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you as we gather on this day, the second Sunday in Advent, to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Glad that you are all here this morning on this day, this dreary, rainy day, but indeed it is the day that God has made, and so we give thanks for this opportunity to be here in God's house. Just have a couple of announcements to inform you of. After worship this morning, we'll be having our annual congregational meeting, so please stay around for that. We'll allow everyone to, after worship, to go use the restroom or do whatever they need to do quickly, and then come back and we will begin our congregational meeting. So that will be after worship this morning. Also, the nominating committee is still looking for those who might want to serve as elders on our session. Session, as many of you know, is the ruling body of the congregation, and so we need people who are willing to step forward and to assume that responsibility. If the Lord places it upon your heart, please do so. We give God thanks for all of you who serve in so many ways. We often have a good amount of deacons, and we give God thanks for the deacon board and for all of their hard work and for the heart that they show towards those who are members of this church and also in the community. But we also need people to serve as elders, ruling elders of this congregation. So again, if the Lord places it up on your heart, please, you can see Desiree Kitt, who is the chair of the nominating committee.
This morning's Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 to 11. Please hear God's word for us. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries in a wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill be made low, and the uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people is grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to the high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength. O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings, lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the God, Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark. We'll be reading from the first chapter of Mark's gospel, beginning with verses 1 and reading through verse 8. So let us listen this morning for God's word for us. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before thy face. Who shall prepare thy way? The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And there went out to him all the country of Judea and all the people of Jerusalem, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and had a leather girdle around his waist and ate locust and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." It's the word of the Lord. I like Mark's gospel. We'll be reading Mark's gospel off and on this year. This year is the year of Mark. Last year was the year of Matthew, as many of you know. But this year is the year of Mark, and we'll be reading through Mark off and on in our lectionary readings. But I like the way particularly Mark begins his gospel. Mark doesn't begin with a birth narrative. He doesn't tell us anything about Jesus' birth. It doesn't begin with any angelic proclamation. It doesn't begin with anyone saying anything to either Mary or Joseph. It doesn't begin with a birth narrative at all. Instead, Mark's gospel begins by simply stating, "This is the beginning of the good news, the gospel, the beginning of the good news." And I don't know about you, but right about now I can use some good news. In fact, I can use all the good news that I can get. We live in a world that seems primed for bad news. I'm sure you've noticed that. We are constantly inundated with bad news, news of war, violence, hatred, and division. It's everywhere. Constantly hearing bad news. It seems to be the only news that sells. It seems to be the only kind of news that we always expect. It's everywhere. A friend of mine asked me the other day, she said, "Did you hear the news?" No, I said, what happened? But I knew before they even began to tell me that it was going to be some sort of bad news, because we're inundated. Bad news is everywhere. Indeed, good news seems to be rare. Whenever I do hear it, I tend to be suspicious of it a little bit. I received an email the other day. It said, "Congratulations, you've won $1,000. And I said to myself, "That's great news. That's wonderful news right in time for the holidays." But when I read carefully, it was more scam than it was good news. And so I'm sometimes suspicious of good news, especially when things seem too good to be true. But Mark says right up front, in no uncertain terms this morning, he says that he really has good news. Extra, extra, read all about it. Good news, the beginning of the good news. For Mark, of course, there is an angle, and the angle is that the good news begins in the wilderness. You have to go out to the wilderness to hear it. You know, when I look for good news, I tend to look for good news in the glitzy places, tend to look for it in the well-established places, in the places of popular ascent. But that's not where Mark says we'll find it this morning. Mark says that the good news that he has for us begins in the wilderness. We all know the wilderness, of course. It's the place where God's people had to wander for 40 years before entering into the promised land. It's a harsh and barren, desolate place where life is lived on the edge. In the wilderness, there are none of the essentials of life that are often taken for granted. There's no food in the wilderness, no water in the wilderness. If you're going to survive at all, you have to daily trust in God for everything. Few of us choose to go there on our own. If we go there at all, it's because we are led there. And a lot of things will bring you there. Illness will bring you there in the wilderness. Grief will bring you there. Heartbreak, broken relationships, dreams and plans that have gone awry, futures that seem uncertain. You are all, I'm sure, familiar with the kind of things that can lead you out into the wilderness. And yet, despite its harshness, it's there in the wilderness that God comes to speak tenderly to his people. Comfort. Comfort. Comfort my people. Because I have good news. And isn't that what we all want this morning? A little bit of good news? Maybe a lot of good news. Both of our readings this morning have to do with homelessness. It has to do with exile. They have to do with people who are possessed of a deep yearning and a deep restlessness for home. Have you ever had that, a deep yearning and restlessness for home? Every once in a while I have a dream of my grandparents' house. It was nothing special. It was just a little green house that threw together. My step-grandfather built it on top of an old house stable that was next to the railroad tracks. But it was the house that my mother and her siblings grew up in, and it was a house that we never lived far from, two or three blocks. We always lived quite near to my grandmother's house. I spent a great deal of time at my grandmother's house. She used to babysit for me when I was a kid, me and my brothers. The house is long gone. It's not there anymore. It's a technical college has now claimed and developed the land that the house once stood on, but it's the house that I still remember, and every once in a while I'll have a dream about it. I'll dream that I'm walking down Texas Street, and there before me is that house. And it's always weird because in the dream I know it's not supposed to be there, but I see it and I'm excited and delighted all at the same time. It's home. That place of deep longing, that place of belonging, that place where one feels grounded, home. We all have that longing for home. And that's what both of our readings are about this morning. In our Isaiah passage, the people have been held captive for 50 years. They are away from Jerusalem. They are away from the temple, and at least in their mind, away from the holy, life-giving presence of God. And so they have this deep, deep longing and yearning and ache to go back home. And of course, by the time we get to the New Testament story, the people are indeed back in Jerusalem, back in Judea, but they still do not feel at home. Their land is still under Roman occupation, so they have this restlessness for it, this restlessness for home. And that's what Advent is about. Advent is the acknowledgement of the yearning, the restlessness for something different, a different kind of world, a world where we can find belonging, a world where we can find meaning, a world that is different from the world in which we now reside. You and I have never been carried away to a foreign land, of course, and we have never suffered the indignities of an occupation by a foreign power, but like all of humanity, we've been exiled. Exiled from God, exiled from our true humanity. We've been captured by the forces and the powers of sin and death. We all have this deep restlessness, this deep yearning for belonging, for meaning. And we try to feel that deep yearning and that deep longing with all kinds of stuff, with all kinds of things. And it's one of the reasons for all the bad news in the world. For all the wars and the rumors of wars, for all the violence, for all the division and hatred. This morning we lit the peace candle. And that's our prayer for this second Sunday in Advent, for peace. Peace for the restlessness of our souls and our hearts. Peace for the world. But even as the flame of the candle burns, we know that we live in a world inundated with war and violence. In this particular year, our hearts are heavy because of the violence in the Holy Land itself. Imagine that, the land that Jesus himself walked, the land where Jesus himself was born, the land where John the Baptist preached and proclaimed, where John the Baptist called everyone to repent. Turn around from your violent ways. Repent. That land this year is engulfed in violence, in war. I guess you can call it a war. Wars are usually between two armies, but this is not necessarily between two armies, but it's violence and bloodshed. Just the same. And of course, it's just one of a number of places around the world that is embroiled in conflict and war and strife. But what makes what's going on in the Holy Land so tragic, what makes it so sad, is the role that religion is playing in fueling the violence. What I would call toxic religion, dark religion. Toxic Judaism, toxic Islam, and yes, toxic Christianity. I was listening to a Christian pastor some days ago, and he was preaching against a ceasefire. And part of what he was saying was, finish the job. Israel needs to finish the job. Imagine those words coming from a Christian pastor. Finish the job. More bloodshed, more violence. I can't fathom anything more demonic and satanic. Here's something for you. If your religion is one that foments violence, if your religion is one that elevates one people over another, if your religion is one that is immune to injustice, if your religion is one that doesn't promote steadfast love and faithfulness, if it's not one where righteousness and peace will kiss each other, if your religion doesn't care anything about that, then it's probably not good news. No matter how you might try to dress it up in twisted theological constructs, it's not good news. It's just more bad news. But this morning, Mark says he has the good news. He has good news, extra, extra, read all about it. I have the good news, real news, good news for everyone, good news for me, good news for you, good news for people in the Middle East, good news for Palestinians, good news for Israelis, good news for us Americans, good news for everyone. good news of joy and hope and peace. You and I know what the good news is, of course. We know that the good news is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the Son of Man. He's the human one, the humane one. He's the one who came to show us the way, the real way. Not a way of war, not a way of violence, not a way of hatred. He comes to show us the way of God, the way of love, the way of mercy. He comes to show us the way home. One of the things that God wants to do with us, which is what makes this story that Mark tells such good news, is he wants to change us. He doesn't want to condemn us, but he wants to change us. He wants to transform us. He wants to glorify us. He wants to make us more and more and more in the glorious image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the good news. But the good news doesn't, it's not just about Jesus. It's also about all of us. The good news is about you and about me. It's about God's people. It's about the church. It's about all of us. We too are part of the good news. We too are called to be the light that shines in the midst of the darkness. We too are called to be good news to the world around us. And so as we move deeper into this season of Advent, where we're waiting and watching for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to return, may the fire and the light of his love continue to burn in our hearts. May we continue to find our way in the way that Jesus himself called us to walk. May we continue to be people who not only hear the good news, but who live the good news in all that we do. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you call us to repentance. You call us to turn around. You call us to move towards you, to move towards the light of your love. We ask, Lord, that through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you help us to do just that. Help us to turn around from hatred and division and violence. And help us to move toward that way that will truly and genuinely bring us home. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.